Welcome to Begin With Yes with Paul Boynton on Empower Radio, a show to help you create and embrace real personal change. You can overcome the challenges in front of you. You just begin with yes. Here's your host, Paul Boynton.
Hey, it's great to have you with us. I am Paul Boynton, and this is Begin With Yes. We have a great show for you today. If you've seen The Lion King on Broadway, or just wish you could see The Lion King on Broadway, then I have a real treat for you today. Our guest is my good friend and the star of The Lion King, C.D. Manye. Hey, C.D.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. This is your one day off.
Yes, this is my day off. Oh, I'm so glad because it's cold.
I know. Hey, every time we talk about how cold it is. How cold is it in New York?
Right now it's around the 50-something, 51, 52.
Oh, that's not cold. Remember when you were in New Hampshire, how cold it was?
Paul, cold for me has got to be, if it's hot for me, it's got to be 92.
Yeah, you're more comfortable when this.
I am more comfortable when it's hot because this for me is not working.
Well, I've been listening to your brand new CD ever since I got it, and it is so beautiful. I loved it the first time I heard it, and then the more you listen to it, the more you love it.
Oh, wow.
I really, really do love it. Was it fun to make?
It was really fun to make, Paul. It was one of those things we go into the studio and we were thinking of songs like right away. And Leland and Jason, who were the ones writing most of the songs, they would sit down and they would ask me, what do I want to talk about? What is it that, and then I'll tell them stories about when I was growing up, what do I want, you know, what was my wish as I was growing up, you know, wishing that I would have like a CD, you know, to record something that I can just say one day, oh, I've done this. I know that I've been performing and doing all the other stuff, but I need to have something that I can say, oh my God, this is my doing. I did this as C.D. Manye, not, you know, as everybody else, as Rafiki or other things.
Was it hard to figure out what songs though to finally include?
It was really hard. It was really hard because I remember when we wrote The Bridge.
Yep.
The first, I don't remember what number is it, but when we wrote The Bridge, we were sitting down with Leland and they were asking me, what is it that I want in a song? They just came up with the song with the word The Bridge, but they had to find out how are we going to create a song about The Bridge. And they told me about, you know, they were asking me about what obstacles did I come across in order to get to where I was. And then I told them, I said, I remember my growing up, I was told that I was not. I should forget singing and I should forget acting because it's not anything that's going to take me anywhere. It was one of those things that, you know, when you get told when you're little that you're not going to be anything, you're just going to be sitting in the house and you're going to be doing this. And then you end up, when you grow up, you end up having that fear in you of even wanting to try anything.
I think we all have those voices in our heads, don't you?
Yes, you grow up with the voice because it's been planted in your head.
Yep.
That you are nothing, you're not going to do anything, you're not going to be anything. And once I started, I was even afraid to even go and audition. I remember when we were auditioning for Sarafina, everybody went because my mom is a playwright. So she had a couple of, you know, kids in her shows, and I was in one of her shows. But she had a couple of kids in her shows that were really acting and singing. And whenever there's other opportunities that were coming up, they would go and audition. And I was one of those who was like, nah, I don't even want to waste my time because I know I'm not going to go anywhere. You know, I don't want, I would hate to be rejected. Uh-huh. And when we were talking with Leland and Jason, that's when The Bridge came out, that as much as I was told that I wasn't going to be anything, I didn't want to give it a try. I had already made that bridge for myself. So yeah, now no, it's time for me.
I think that's why, and I didn't realize that you were part of creating the songs, but I think that must be why they resonate and they feel so honest and real, because you're actually singing about your own life and some
My
of the challenges
life.
That you faced.
Definitely.
And there's I mean, and the CD is full of joy as well. I mean, it's mostly a CD that you listen to and you can't help but dance actually and move around and and smile. So and we're gonna play a song on this show, so people can get a sense for the music before we go. But let's back up a little bit. How, you're not a Broadway baby. You did not grow up in New York City and, and imagine that it was going to be easy to get to Broadway. Tell me how that happened. How did you get to Broadway?
I was in Toronto, for 4 years. I did, Lion King in Toronto for 4 years.
Okay.
And in the last year, remember when they had SARS and stuff? Remember that when that little flu came out, SARS?
Yep.
It hit Toronto so bad in such a way that tickets were not selling for The Lion King. They were not selling at all. And they were talking about, you know, the show was going to close and all that kind of stuff. And people were going to be, some of the people were going to be taken to different shows, like the some people were going to London and the touring companies and all of that. And I was one of those who were, I thought I was going to go home. I think it must have been like one of the surprises that my company manager, because he always likes to tease, you know, me and her will always be being teasing each other. So they didn't tell me that I was going to Broadway. Actually, even when they told me that, he said to me, CD, you're going to get a call. Somebody is going to call you. And, make sure that you pick up the phone. You pick up the phone, because normally you don't pick up the phone when people are calling you and it's a number that you don't know. Anyway, so I said, okay, I'll pick up the phone. What is the number? And he didn't want to tell me. I think in his mind, he thought I would know that it's New York. I don't know. How would I know? Because I've never been to New York. Anyway, so I'm sitting and I'm waiting for this call that is not coming. And then he says to me, every time he sees me, he says, did you get a call? I said, Dwight, I haven't gotten a call, and I don't think that person is going to call me anymore. Anyway, so somebody comes in and says, oh, you're going to Toronto. You're going to go to Broadway. I said, Broadway? He said, yeah, you're going to New York. I said, I don't want to go to no Broadway. I want to go to London. And then the girl who was there, the dance captain, she says, you don't want to go to Broadway. You know how many people would kill to go to Broadway? You are lucky to go to Broadway. You need to go to Broadway because that's where every star goes to. I said, no, I want to go to Hollywood. Don't take me to no Broadway. I didn't know what they were talking about. Up until a lot of people were like, CD, Broadway is where you make it. You either make it or you break it. I said, what? That's where I'm going.
Well,
Broadway it is.
Well, first of all, how did you get to Toronto? How did you get into The Lion King in Toronto?
The creative team came to South Africa. So this is what happened when I was in Sarafina. When Disney started wanting to do the movie,
right?
The Lion King movie. They came to South Africa and they had a couple of people that they wanted to come and sing the soundtrack, to do the soundtrack, because the soundtrack was done in South Africa.
Okay, I never knew that.
Yeah, it was done in South Africa in some studio called in Mabatu.
Okay.
So we were one of those people. I was in one of the group in the groups. I mean, in the group when they were doing the soundtrack, and then we recorded and doing everything. Everything was fun. And I think after they saw the movie was released, and they saw that it was a success, they decided they wanted to do a show. And that's when they called everybody that was in the movie doing the soundtrack to come and audition. And you should know that it was like 30,000 people coming to audition, and they only wanted only 8 people. It was one of those, yeah. And but they kept auditioning. I'm trying to say, I had to audition maybe like 3 times before I even got to Toronto.
All right, so you grew up in South Africa,
yes,
and you recorded this. You were part of the recording for the movie.
Recording for the movie, yes.
And then what was going through your mind? I mean, were you thinking, oh, I want this really, really badly? Or were you thinking, I'm just going to give it a try and see what happens? Or,
you know what? It was one of those, you mean with The Lion King, with the show?
Yeah, right.
First of all, when they auditioned for the first time, it was like tons and tons of people. And I think the downfall for me was one of those. And again, it was that bridge that I was building for myself. They want only 8 people, and there's like thousands and thousands of people. And in my mind, how I'm not even going to be part of the 8. Why am I wasting my time? When they came in for the first time, we auditioned, and I didn't get picked up. The second time when we go to audition, my half-sister who is in London right now, I mean, she's not doing the show anymore, but she used to be in The Lion King. She got picked up. And the third time when I went to audition, my friend got picked up. And I said, oh, forget it. I'm not going to do this. I'm giving up. I guess they don't want me. I was in the soundtrack, and Lebo M and everybody, every time they come in, they always say, oh, you back again. Yeah, I'm back again. Pick me up this time.
Well, I guess that's a lesson not to give up too quickly.
Yeah, I guess that's one of those lessons. And this time, when they came in for the fourth time, I didn't go to audition. My friend kept calling me and said, Sidi, you need to go. They wanted to see you, blah, 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 whatever. The guy that was our company manager in Sarafina happened to be helping with the auditions. And he noticed that I didn't come in. And my sister called him and told him that he needs to go and tell me to come and audition because somebody was talking about me. I didn't know, but somebody was talking about me because she spoke to Lebo M about me. So they wanted to, you know, they wanted to see me. And I was like, I'm not going nowhere. I'm tired. I've done it 3 times and it's not working. Forget it.
That seems to work well for you. You say you don't want to go to Broadway. You say you're too tired to go to the audition.
And then things come up. That is so true.
That is so funny. So you go to Toronto. How long were you in Toronto?
4 years. 4 years.
4 years. And yeah. Then you did end up coming to New York to Broadway.
How long
have you been in New York on Broadway?
This is my 8th year now, I think. I came in 2004.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, this. Every time I see you, CD, and I usually see you in between a matinee and an evening show, you always come out of the theater with a great, big, beautiful smile on your face. And it feels like after all these years, you're still having fun, like you still love it. Is that true?
I am having so much fun. It's not even funny. I get to speak my language in the show. Mm-hmm. But not only that. You know, when you come in and that curtain comes up and you see the excitement on people's face. I remember there was one time after I finished singing Circle of Life, and there was a lady who was sitting with her daughter. It was, in the center section and in mm-hmm. the first aisle. And every time when I was going in, she would be crying and she would be pointing at me.
Mm.
And I sang He Lives in You, and in He Lives in You, she was holding her daughter, and she was crying. Anyway, after the show, she waited for me outside, and I'm coming out, and I'm, you know, normally I would run away because I would use the other entrance, the other exit, because I have to run for the train. My thing, if I miss my train, the next train that's coming up is going to be like an hour and a half of me waiting. And if I use the stage door exit, that's where everybody is waiting for people to sign autographs. Not that I don't want to sign autographs. I would love to, but I just don't like to wait for the train for 1 hour. But this particular day, I just decided to come out. And this lady and the daughter were standing right there. She came to me and she gave me a hug. And she said, you know, you made my day. She said, when you sang the song, He Lives in You, my husband just passed like maybe 3-4 months ago, whatever the time was. And she said, as soon as you started singing that song, I looked at my daughter and I say, Daddy is living with us. Daddy is with us. And then she started giving me a hug. She said, you gave me so much hope. And she was like, every time you came in, you were so alive. You made me want to come on stage and dance with you. And she was like, I've never seen such a person and such a beautiful voice and blah, 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 blah. So I think that's, all of those things are the things that motivate you as an actor. You know what I'm saying? You just want to go, and it feels good to know that people are with you and they are excited and they get the message, whatever you're doing, and they appreciate it. So I think I get rejuvenated by that.
You know, it's interesting, CD, because I'm not sure when that happened, but you're still telling that story. And so it impacted you. It touched you in a way that perhaps changed your life a little bit. But
definitely.
My guess is that she's still telling that story, too, that this meant something so, that this was such a significant experience for her. I guess that's what I love about live theater. It really has a way of touching people. This conversation is happening way too quickly because I want to have time to play a song from your CD, but tell us about your one woman show, would you?
Yes. I remember the first time when I did it and you were part of it. I remember the first time I did it, Paul, it was one of those things I wanted to say, no, I was joking. I don't want to do it anymore. Because I guess it's that bridge that I built. But I guess after I did it the first time, I was so excited, I guess because of the way people were receiving it. You know what I'm saying? The way it was received.
I do.
And the way... And the songs, again, the songs that I was singing, it was like telling a story again. You know what I'm saying? And I'm one person who would like to sing something that, you know, that has a message in it, you know, to give, I don't know, to heal somebody, if there's a way that I can be able to heal somebody. But after I did the first show, I was like, Leland, this is not the end of it. And ever since I have been doing my shows, a lot of people were saying, it's time for you to hang out the Rafiki suit now and do your own show.
You know, what's interesting, CD, is that a lot of Broadway performers, when they do one person shows, they tend to sing a lot of Broadway shows. And when I saw you do I think it was your very first one woman show.
Yes.
You sang songs that were more personally meaningful to you.
Yes.
You sang a lot of music from South Africa and from your childhood. And I think that was such a wise choice for you to make.
Yes, that's exactly what I wanted. Because I said to Lilith when we were talking about it, I said to them, I said, I want to go and tell a story. That's what my thing is. I want to go and I want the audience to be part of, you know, I want to be like I'm sitting in the living room and talking to my friends and us having fun. That's the kind of concert I want to be able to do, where I can just sing and leave a message and then people will go with that message, which is, it has been happening even with the new songs. And the new songs are like, they are like a stamp on whatever I wanted to do, because all the songs that we were talking about, actually, the thing that motivated me to even do this one woman show was the book that you gave me, Begin With Yes. I read that book, Paul, and I said, it's so true. There is nothing that is impossible. We make our lives impossible if we don't want to go there and give it a try. And I said, from today, I'm going to begin with yes. I'm going to tell all my fears to leave me alone and start saying yes to good things to come, positive things to come, you know. And that book, I don't want to lie, it motivated me, and I'm not the only one, because after you gave me all the other books, they were all gone. And I'm talking about maybe 3 or 4 people in the theater right now that are being motivated by that book. This other guy is doing his one-man show, but it's not like singing, but he's going to be like performing and stuff like that. And somebody, I think, is helping him with, he does tap dancing, but he wanted to do tap dancing with a little bit of acting, whatever that is.
You know what? I'm trying to learn how to tap dance myself.
I wish I could do, because I would tap dance a stomp on that stage. I don't want to lie. I wish I could learn to do that. That's one of my things that I want to do.
But I'm telling you, that book of yours, if you can believe it.
That book, Paul, is an awesome book. I'm glad you wrote it, and I'm glad I was the first one to get it and read it. And thank you so much for the book.
Well, thank you, CD, for mentioning that. Let me ask you a question, because you've been doing Lion King for years and years and years, and you probably don't get nervous anymore when you go on the Broadway stage. But were you nervous when you did your one-woman show?
I was so nervous. I was so nervous. Let me tell you, when I'm nervous, everything, my voice just closes. It's one of those things. I until I can be able to do whatever I'm doing, I have runs. That's when I'm nervous. I will go to the bathroom 3-4 times because it's one of those things. You're like, I wonder, how are they going to receive it? Am I doing the right thing? Is it, what am I doing? You know, I need to cancel the show and just go home and sit down and watch TV. It was one of those things. But I said, I need to give it a try.
You have to take a chance, don't you?
Take a chance. Yeah. And if they don't receive it right, at least I know I did take a chance, and I know that maybe that's not what I'm supposed to do, and I'm just going to just let it go and throw in the towel.
And when did you know that you had everyone in the room in the palm of your hand?
Those guys, I still have them. It was one of those. And I think some of them, because they have seen me perform on stage, they have been saying something. Because Jason, I remember Jason and Leland were the first people who said when they saw me doing The Lion King. Leland used to babysit Mpo. That's how I knew Leland, because he used to babysit my son. And that's when he introduced me to what's his name, Jason, because Jason writes music for Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir.
And beautiful. CD, he wrote the song Wildflower, didn't he?
Yes.
Did Jason? Let's take a couple of minutes now and let people listen to this beautiful, beautiful, uplifting song, Wildflower, mm-hmm. and then we'll come back and chat for just another minute, all right?
Okay.
Let's take a listen. Wow, CD, that was beautiful. That's the first song that I listened to on the CD, and it, I don't know, there's just something about it. So please tell Jason how much I loved his work. And
yes, I
have a feeling that's going to be a song that you sing every time you do a one-woman show.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
How can people find your CD right now?
Right now they can go to cdbaby.com.
All right.
And iTunes, I think they can go download them on iTunes. I think we are on iTunes right now.
Okay. And if you're not, that you will be very, very shortly.
I would be shortly. Actually, they said for me last week Friday, so I'm hoping by now I should be on iTunes. Yeah.
All right. Well, I know that there are people that have been touched by your story who already love your music. And I have a favor to ask of you.
Yes.
Will you come back again in a few weeks and continue this conversation?
Yes, definitely I will.
Because we didn't even begin to scratch the surface of all the things that I wanted to ask you. So we'll have you back and we'll even play another song for people.
Yes.
So CD, thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for being
Paul.
Here. Keep enjoying the work that you're doing. I hope people will go to CD Baby and find your beautiful CD, which incidentally is called Wildflower. And I know that they're going to enjoy it very much. So we'll say goodbye for now, but I will see you in New York soon. And
all
you
right
and I
then.
Will talk on the radio again real soon too. All right.
All right then, Paul. Thank you so much.
Take care, CD.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks to Chris and Brent and all the good people at Empower Radio. Special thanks to CD. Please go to CD Baby and look for the CD for yourself. And thanks to all of you for listening. I'll be right here waiting for you all next week. Have a great rest of your day.